turning to Matthew chapter 14. I want to give honor to our pastor who is not here for entrusting the word with me today. I also want to give honor, many of you hear about my grandfather, Charles Abernathy, but you don't hear about Bill Smith. Many of you don't know that my mother's parents came here. I don't know exactly when it was, probably late 70s, somewhere in there. But my grandfather was very involved with teaching. I believe, if correct me if I'm wrong, he was involved with my father in starting the first new converts class that some of you were in teaching. He was a lover of the word. He loved this church. He loved Pastor Wells. He has since gone on with the Lord in 2008. But my grandmother is here. And I love her very dearly. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25 through 32. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. For just a few minutes, I want to speak on when God responds to our cry. When God responds to our cry. Let's pray. Father, we ask that your word would go forth. Lord, that your word would penetrate our hearts and our minds, that we would leave here different than we came before. I pray that you anoint your servant today, God. Lord, that it would not be my words, but it would be your words that come forth, Lord. Lord, I am just a humble servant here to deliver your word to your people today, God. And I pray that you anoint this congregation in a mighty way, God. Let your spirit move through here continual as it already has, Lord. Let it fill this place in a mighty way. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Y'all may be seated. There's something about when a child cries out to their parents, to the mom or to the dad. I'm not talking about the tears, but it is a cry that is projected from the mouth. It doesn't matter what's going on around you, but as a parent, there is a specific cry that you hear. You know something is wrong. There can be these cries that you know that they're arguing in the next room, and it's somebody decided they wanted to get one up on the other one and maybe throw in a sucker punch here and there, and you know it's just an aggravated scream or cry, and it's like, I don't want to deal with that. But there are the cries that you know something's not right. Back in last June, my family and I decided we were going to have just a fun beach day. We hadn't been out there for maybe a half hour. And all of a sudden, that cry came from my oldest daughter. Something wasn't right. Seeing that her leg was basically wide open halfway around, I panicked as a dad. But the interesting thing was, when she was being dragged out of the water and set up in a chair, she began to cry out to God. She began to cry out to Jesus. And she literally began to speak in tongues. And all of a sudden, there's peace came over her. And here's mom and dad still kind of freaking out. Then I look up on the dunes, and there's brother and sister doing the same thing, calling on the name of the Lord for their sister. No one told them to. It was just they knew something's not right. We've got to cry out to God. In this specific event in our scripture, we see here, we've heard this story over and over again, but this is an instance where one's faith was tested and when the impossible became the possible. But what I want to focus on with this was not necessarily the step of faith leading him to walk on water, but it was the cry of desperation that Peter let out. And it was the reaction that followed that cry. The Bible does not state how far Jesus was from Peter, and I don't think it really matters. But it was the response that grabbed my attention. The Bible tells us that when Peter cried out, "Lord, save me," that's when Jesus immediately stretched forth his hand and caught him. That word "caught" in the Greek means to lay hold or to take possession of or to overtake. You see, there are times in our Christian walk when our eyes can be on Jesus and we start to step out on faith. But sometimes our focus gets redirected. We get distracted by things happening in our lives and situations that we find ourselves in the middle of, and we begin to sink spiritually. I want to tell you today that when the cares and the trials of this life become overwhelming, even distracting at times, if you will simply learn to cry out, "Lord, save me," I know without a doubt that He will be there to grab your hand and pull you above the waves. We can get so caught up in life and everything that comes with it that we'll forget that we serve a God that says He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will immediately be there to take hold of our hand in our situation and pull us to safety. But see, the biggest obstacle that keeps us from crying out is pride. Pride will hinder anything that God wants to do in our lives. The Bible says all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We have no problem calling out things like lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh. That we can call that out in an instant. But we never want to admit when pride has taken root. That pride of life is a dangerous thing. Ezekiel listed in the Old Testament that the many sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, but the first thing he mentioned was pride. Pride overtook that city, which led in the end to destruction. Pride always wants to creep in and then will cause us to find excuses to justify our actions. But can I tell you today that there is something supernatural that will happen in your life and your situation when you decide that you're going to lay down your pride and cry out to the Lord. God will intervene. Our pride, the first thing when we come to the house of God is, what's others going to think about us? I don't want to cry out. I'm going through this. I don't know what my neighbor's going to say. I don't want to freak them out. I don't want them to think I'm some sort of goof troop. Pride keeps us from crying out. Pride keeps us from ministering to those around us. What's the people and then lying next to us going to think? What's the person at the gas pump next to us going to think? Well, maybe they're the ones that really need to hear it. Pride will allow unforgiveness to take root. Yeah, but you don't understand, this person did me wrong. Swallow your pride and go ask for forgiveness. But I didn't do anything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Sometimes pride can creep in when we're operating in great faith, just as it did with Peter. We can get so caught up in doing things for the kingdom that we get distracted by affirmation and praise from others. And we begin to think more of ourselves than what we are. Folks, we're going into a time where each and every one of you will be used in a mighty way of God. Don't let that go to your head, me included. We can begin to have a prideful and arrogant attitude because God decided to use us for something. Maybe even a prophecy was spoken over us. I don't care what your title is. I don't care what was said. We cannot come before God with a prideful heart. He does want to move in our situations. He wants to help us in our situations, but we must be willing to humble ourselves before the God Almighty. Well, I'm kind of an introvert. You realize that introverts, even as humble as they seem, can have pride? They take pride in being an introvert. They really do. It's like, well, you know, I just don't do that. I don't put myself out there. That's pride. It's pride. Well, you don't understand, I'm not a very vocal person. God hears me no matter how loud I am. He even knows my thoughts. Yes, he does. But he wants to hear your voice. What good is it if the God who created us specifically to worship him, and his creation won't even cry out to him? They won't cry out to him even as a heavenly father when in need. And he says, you know what? I'll work on the worship part after, but you're in need and you won't even cry out to me. Our pride can stand in the way of us crying out to God Almighty. You see, I was the person who would make excuses. And if you've heard me speak before, you know I always have a self story that goes with us, because I believe, what good is it if I'm telling you to do something and I hadn't done it? But I remember I had just started pursuing the call of God. I'd ran from it for about 16 years. And now I'm being plagued with past memories, with the devil saying, well, you're too late. You should have done this back when you were 16. Now what good is it? You're in your 30s. You know, okay, so I'll use you for a couple Bible studies. That's all you're going to do. These lies are real, folks. They're very real. And they'll mess with you. But I remember that service. Came down here in this church. This is when the platform still went out another 20 feet. And we had a two-room apartment on this wall that the drums sat in. But I remember that service. It was like one of those that right from the get-go, you could just feel the Spirit of God. You could feel him moving. And we begin to sing this song we just sang. And I felt, I raised my hands. I was like, God, I just need a breakthrough. I need your help with this. And he says, as clear as I'm talking to you right now, he says, are you willing to cry out to me? No, are you really willing to cry out, no matter who hears you? And I remember coming down, standing right down here, and I threw up my hands. And I started praying, and I tried to get a little louder, and it was almost like I could hear God saying, nope, it's not there. I hear you when you're out on the ball field. I hear you when you're out doing stuff. I know you can do more. And you're not willing to do more for me. And so I kept going further. And finally, I was like, I don't even know what to say, God. So I just started saying, I said the name Jesus. And I was like, oh, okay. And I went to do it again. And before I could even get the whole name out, the Spirit of God hit me. And it was like nothing I'd ever felt before, because I was willing to lay my pride down. I was willing to say, you know what? I don't care who's around me. I'm not even going to open my eyes to look. All I want is for you to reach down and hold my hand and know that you're there. I made up in my mind that day that I would never be afraid to cry out to the Lord again. I don't care who's around me. He's done too much for me. He's brought me out of too many valleys. He's delivered me from too much for me to not cry out to the Lord God Almighty. I am simply saying to you today, if you're going through something, if there's something in your life, whether it be a lost loved one, whether it be something you need deliverance from, cry out to God. Cry out to the Lord, and he will be there.
You are worthy, oh God. You are worthy.
Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which you know, thou knowest not. If we simply cry out to the Master, he will immediately stretch forth his hand and bring us above the waves. He wants to hear our cry. He wants to know, are you desperate for me? We read in Mark chapter 10 about blind Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the road where Jesus was passing by on his way out of Jericho. Now this man could have sat there and just easily begged, not talking any louder than I'm talking now. But there was something in that man that inside of him said, this is my chance. I may never get this chance again. Jesus is passing by. And there's no doubt that this man had heard things and heard people talking about things that Jesus had done, miracles that he had performed. And so this man, we find him sitting on the roadside, and Jesus is walking by, and he cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The Bible says that people charged him to keep silent. That word charge means to rebuke. We come into church. We come into the house of God to worship. And sadly enough, we may not hear vocally people saying, keep silent. But we see it in their eyes. We see it on their faces. Shame on you. Shame on you for keeping somebody from crying out because it makes you uncomfortable. Shame on you. There was an urgency in Bartimaeus. He said, my healing is just a cry away. My deliverance is just a cry away. So he did it again. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. But why didn't he answer the first time? Maybe he wanted to see how serious he really was. Was he going to let others determine whether or not he was going to cry out? Jesus heard the others rebuke him. I believe that Jesus was like, let's see. Are you willing to let your surroundings distract you from what you need? Are you willing to let the wind and the waves distract you from crying out to the Lord God Almighty? Your healing is a cry away. Your deliverance is a cry away. Your answer that you've been praying about is a cry away. How desperate are you for a move of God in your life? How desperate are you? Are you desperate enough to call on the Lord with a cry of urgency today? Are you desperate enough to put anything and everyone behind you and say, God, I need you today. I don't want to leave today without my answer. I don't want to leave today without your hand holding mine. Psalms 3:4 says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Psalms 18:6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into my ears. Psalms 55:17 says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Are we really desperate for God to move? Are we really desperate for God to intervene? Or are we happy and content with sitting in our pride and dealing with our situations? I believe that if we're not willing to cry out to the Lord, then what we're really saying is, God, I don't need you that bad. I just need to know you're there, just so when I do decide, I can come back. That's why you're here. Maybe you came today and you're like, you know, you don't understand what I may not understand what you're going through, and I don't know what you're going through. But you're here for some reason. Are you here just because you want to know, okay, everybody's still here, rapture didn't happen, we're good, everybody's still here, I've still got time? Or are you here because you're desperate for God to move in your situation? Are you desperate enough to cry out today to God? If we allow our pride to stand in the way of us crying out to God, then we have consented to the yoke of pride, a very heavy yoke. If you were being abducted, or someone was trying to hurt you or your children, wouldn't you cry out for help? I know I would. But for some reason, when it becomes about God and becomes a spiritual issue with our spiritual lives, the urgency is masked by a fear of what others might think when eternity is on the line. When our children's out there, we have no problem raising our voices saying, hey, you're not doing that. Or if they're too far away, somebody help my child, please. But when it comes to our eternal soul, well, God hears me. Yes, he does. But he wants to hear you cry. Our flesh must be crucified every day if we're going to keep pride in check. Because pride loves the flesh. The flesh loves pride because they work hand in hand, and they can keep you from doing anything that God wants you to do. All the while we're sinking and letting the surroundings distract us and from walking closer to the Master. Won't hardly utter a word to the one person that can bring us out of the turmoil and trials that we face, Jesus Christ. Why do you want to go living under oppression? When the Master is standing right here with his hand out saying, all you have to do is cry unto me. I have a life better for you. I challenge you today to throw your pride out and cry out with a loud voice. God is here today. We have felt him in a mighty way. He is still here, moving up and down these aisles and in your seat. And he's wondering, are you willing to cry out to me today? Are you willing to cry out to me? Whatever the situation may be, it may be that you just need an answer from God in a situation in your life. If you'll cry out to him, he'll give you that answer. Maybe you need a healing, and he's wondering, are you willing, just like blind Bartimaeus, to put that pride aside and cry out to me? Maybe you have a lost loved one. If you don't cry out for that one, who will? The world's crying for him right now. Why they're not here. Why they're not living for God. Because they hear the world crying for him. But are you crying out for him to the God that can deliver him from that? He can deliver you without ever hearing a word. But he wants to know today, how desperate are you? Let's stand. A couple of years ago, I was able to hear a message, and it was talking about how there are three stages in our walk with God, and we're either standing on the outside looking into a desert, we're either in the middle of the desert, or we're coming out of it. We're quick to give the devil credit for things going on in our lives. not realizing that maybe God has allowed something because he wants to cause you to grow deeper in him. Maybe he wants you to learn to cry out to him in desperation. He says, you know what, you're doing great, but I want you to go further. Are you willing to step out and put your pride aside so that I can move and intervene in your situation? It doesn't matter where you're at. Whether you're in the beginning, you're in the middle of the desert, or you're in the end, there's always a time and a place to cry out to God. Does the devil capitalize on those moments? Absolutely. But we're so stubborn sometimes to think that we know our lives better than what God does. Well, you just know, I know what's going on and I'll take care of it. And no, you won't. You can't. Will you go on fighting pride and not cry out to God? Or will you cry out to God today? The question is, when you're sinking, will you be like Peter and say, Lord, save me, and cry out with your voice? Or will we allow the waves to overtake us? That loved one is counting on you. Your healing is on the line. Your deliverance is on the line. This altar is open for anyone who is willing to put your pride aside and cry out to the Lord God.